This is Florida Matters. I'm Steve Newborn. Hotels in the Tampa Bay area had their second best month ever in February. But what a difference a month makes. When the coronavirus came knocking shortly afterward, occupancy tanked nearly 70%. Even in the midst of all this mess, the Tampa Bay area had the third highest occupancy rate of all metro areas in the nation. So many jobs hinge on Florida's biggest industry. So when tourists stay home, no one rents jet skis, goes to the local takeout, goes shopping, or goes out for a drink, even if they were open. So we'll get the lowdown on what's happening with Santiago Carrada. He's president and CEO of Visit Tampa Bay, which represents Tampa and Hillsborough County.
Really appreciate you thinking of us. I mean, our industry has been through a lot, as you might imagine. The industry that was probably hit the fastest and hardest due to the pandemic and its effects, and not just here locally, but globally. Tourism industry with all of its sectors has really been severely impacted.
First up, Santiago, let's talk about the impact to some of the hotels here. You know, we've heard so much about smaller businesses, restaurants, bars and stuff. A lot of them have gone out of business, or they will go out of business very soon because of the lack of clientele. And even though things are starting to open up right now, a lot of people are still very reticent to go out because of the COVID-19. Do you have any figures or any stories about how the hotels are faring, and maybe if any are in financial trouble, maybe some of the smaller mom and pop places?
I'm not all that familiar with the financial implications of who's going to stay open, who's not, who can weather this storm, for lack of a better expression. But I can tell you it's been extremely difficult, extreme. I mean, we have experienced huge reductions in our workforce, huge reductions in salaries at Visit Tampa Bay, and it mirrors what's going on out there in our hotel properties. I mean, you know, some of our hotel properties were sitting there with 10% occupancy, 12% occupancy, when we have been seeing just such incredible business here, right, in Hillsborough County. So I can tell you it's been very, very painful. A lot of our colleagues have struggled so significantly. Massive layoffs, massive furloughs, huge salary reductions. You know, general managers running the desk, running the restaurant, running around, you know, carrying bags. But, you know, this is a pretty incredible industry. Very resilient, very strong. It's come back from so many things. You know, you mentioned 911. We've had a recession. We've had oil spills. We've had hurricanes. Now we have this pandemic. I said something that was kind of foolish at the beginning because I thought it was like all these other pandemics or issues we've seen, all these other viruses, and I was wrong. This one has been very different than Zika or SARS or swine flu. But again, the industry has always come back. It's always come back strong. Sometimes it takes a little bit longer than other times. We'll see how this one carries on. We're all very optimistic that the Bay Area here is well positioned for a strong rebound, as you just saw with the Smith Travel Research number, you know, top three of the top 25 metro areas to fare in May. So well positioned just because of who we are and how we perform. So fairly optimistic, just don't know when it all gets back to any kind of normalcy.
How much are the travel numbers off in the Tampa Bay area, and how's it compared to the rest of the state?
Okay, so yeah, I can actually share those, and I'm going to share Hillsborough County because that's the county that Visit Tampa Bay represents. And so just to give you an idea, I'll talk occupancy numbers for hotels and then revenue numbers for hotels. I can tell you that February, just a few months ago, was the second best tourism month on record ever. So in February, our occupancy numbers were up 2.3%. Revenues were up 14.3%, almost $84 million in hotel revenue in the month of February. Then in March, we saw a negative 46.4% in revenue compared to last year's March. And occupancy dropped 42.4% compared to the prior March. So we went from the second best month of all time to almost a half of a month in March. April, which I hope is the worst we will ever see, revenues dropped 84.7% and occupancy dropped 69.8%. And that was just bottom of the barrel. I mean, April was, I've been in this position now almost 8 years. Obviously, the worst month I've seen and the worst month in the history of not just Hillsborough County, but lots of folks. But what's been encouraging is that May has seen a gradual improvement. And so just to give you perspective, revenues are down negative 72.6% for May. They were 84.7 in April. So we've seen, you know, a slight jump there. And occupancy as negative 56.1% for May compared to prior May. And remember, April was down almost 70%. And you ask compared to the rest of the world, then there's some good news. In fact, Smith Travel Research, foremost expert in gathering and analyzing hotel data, released a report just yesterday that I saw, and only six of the top 25 markets in the country saw occupancy over 40%. And really happy to the report that Tampa St. Pete was the third best out of that report. New York City had 47.6% occupancy, Norfolk, Virginia, Beach, Virginia, 44.2%, and Tampa St. Pete, 44%. So not too bad.
That's really interesting. You mentioned New York having such a high occupancy rate, 40%, when it was and probably still is the epicenter of the coronavirus outbreak. Do you think people are cognizant of that? Are they taking precautions and they're still traveling?
The dynamics out there are very interesting. You know, what percentage of the population is risk averse and what percentage of the population is risk tolerant? And I want to say that, you know, we're seeing just about everything, right? We're seeing folks that are just getting out there, not too worried about taking precautions. And then we're seeing people out there going out and doing everything the right way, the way they're supposed to do it. They're going to wear their face mask. You know, they're making sure that they're healthy before they go out there. They're abiding by this physical distancing. Listen, I'm a tourism guy inside and out, right? I go to theme parks. I like to travel. I've been to the soft opening of Universal Studios. I was just there yesterday, in fact, because I wanted to see it firsthand, right? What are people going to do? And quite honestly, I was very, very impressed. And the weather was horrific, right? The weather was bad yesterday.
But good for wearing masks though, right?
Yeah. You weren't dying of the heat. But I can tell you that even under those really bad weather conditions, it was encouraging to see the number of people that were willing to go out and experience that sort of environment. And hats off to the theme park. They are really doing all those precautionary things that are going to be so important for consumer confidence, right? We have to make sure safety first and that people, even if they're a little bit risk tolerant, feel safe and willing to make that jump to travel and to experience destinations. I think there are some folks out there that are willing to do the right thing and do it in a safe fashion.
You just mentioned the theme parks opening. You know, it's kind of a soft opening. Busch Gardens and the Orlando theme parks just announced they're reopening at reduced capacity. So do you anticipate a rebound in our hotel occupancy rates from that?
You know, I do. And I think it's a combination of things for us, Steve. You know, we're very fortunate here in Tampa Hillsborough County that, you know, our business portfolio is diverse. You know, we have conventions and meetings and associations and big events. And then we have leisure tourism travelers. I think it's all going to come together gradually. But yeah, I can tell you that once you start opening up the destination, you know, Florida Aquarium has opened, the zoo has opened, a lot of our museums, our interactive museums are opening up. You know, I think those are assets that we market and that we can market to those people that we know are risk tolerant and are willing to travel. And we're going to have to know our potential clients very well and know who to market to and exactly what buttons you push to make sure they feel comfortable taking that trip.
So Santiago, what is your marketing plan right now? You're talking about all these risk-averse travelers. Do you market to those? I mean, how do you target people who are more risk-tolerant than others? That seems like kind of a tight needle to thread.
Well, you know, luckily we have great agencies we work with that do all the research and analysis. And believe it or not, you know, the new age of technology is pretty incredible with what we know about consumers. and who might be more willing to say, wow, that looks like a great idea, I'm going to jump on it. And right now, you know, marketing is really has to be focused on making an impact quickly. You know, it's nice to market to people who are aspirational and dream and may decide one day to travel. Right now, I think our marketing has to be more laser-like focused to market to those people that say, you know what, I'm going on that trip next week. I'm going to Busch Gardens. I'm going to Tampa. You know, that Riverwalk looks pretty great. And there's lots of open spaces there in Tampa that I can enjoy. And I feel they're doing the right things to keep me safe. You know, I'm going there. So the marketing will have to have, you know, a focus on what we think appeals to those risk tolerant and maybe even a little bit risk averse potential clients to come and visit the destination. And obviously, we're blessed with a beautiful destination with wide open spaces. Yes, we have beaches over on the Pinellas side, but we've got beautiful natural areas in Hillsborough County. When you think of Plant City and some of the unincorporated parts of Hillsborough County with trails and great parks. So I think we have lots to offer here that would appeal to people willing to travel to a destination.
You know, I remember after 9/11, which was really the last great conflagration, to use a $5 word there, in tourism circles. The marketing changed from national and international to more targeting local travelers, state travelers. Are you doing that as well? Are you targeting Floridians to come to Tampa Bay?
Steve, every time we have, I guess, a crisis, there are new buzzwords that come out, right? I mean, who knew social distancing would be a buzzword? So the buzzword right now in tourism marketing is drive market. You know, we believe that folks within a drive market will jump in their cars and not fly in are the easiest, quickest targets to hit that would come to a destination. So all our focus will be digitally based. Yes, Florida based, but you know, I think there's some parts of the Southeast that we can even target. And the great thing about digital marketing is it's very flexible. It's very nimble. We can see return on investment for that marketing and where we're making a difference and where people are more apt to come. You know, I'm a Jersey boy, right? I was born in New Jersey and I can remember, you know, even that far up, we used to pack the old station wagon and drive down to South Florida. And, you know, it reminds me of National Lampoon's Vacation where everybody gets in the station wagon and drives off to a theme park. I remember doing that quite often as a young person. So we really, I think, have to go back to the future, right? And look at some of those ways to market to the folks that are going to be more comfortable doing it right now.
Oh, you're bringing back memories with the station wagon. I was in the exact same boat. So, you know, in that marketing campaign, are you addressing safety measures specifically? Are you telling people it's safe to come down? This is what we're doing. This is what you should do. These are the precautions we're taking.
I think we do it in a subtle way, obviously. You know, it's not like banging it at home with a hammer. I think our attractions are doing a fantastic job of saying those things and doing those things. You know, Florida Aquarium's requiring face coverings. When I went to the soft opening of Universal Studios Orlando and Islands of Adventure, they were requiring face coverings. They were taking your temperature before you got into the park. They had markings. They were adhering to a lot of the CDC requirements for a safe environment. So I think we create that atmosphere through the marketing. And then others really hone in on how safe. And people, you know, people are smart. I mean, if they're going to see a marketing campaign from Visit Tampa Bay that has folks out on a kayak in the Hillsborough River, and they start pinging Hillsborough County looking for hotels, those are going to pop up and they're going to do the job of really selling to them the safety precautions they're taking, as well as the theme parks, attractions, all the other assets we have.
Are you also targeting or maybe not targeting some of the hot spots for COVID-19, like New York metro area and New Orleans? Are we still advertising there? Or are we taking special precautions for visitors who come from there at all?
Well, Steve, you know, we're in the process of finalizing our campaign that we're going to launch here in the next week and a half or so. So, you know, those locations, I don't think we've determined yet. And we do work with an ad agency and several partners, you know, and we work with some of the best in the industry as far as data analysis, you know, where we're going to get the biggest bang for the buck and where we think we're going to convert travelers to travel, you know, really. We've not really, I don't think, decided on those geographic targets yet, but we're in the process of doing so.
We'll continue our conversation with Santiago Carrada, president and CEO of Visit Tampa Bay. Your organization put out a report about a month ago that said, quote, in many ways, COVID-19 has the potential to impact consumer behavior for years to come. Now, that's a big open-ended statement. You know, there's talk about having a vaccine, but it may not come for a year, year and a half or so. How do you plan for that, or can you plan for that? Are you basically taking 1 month at a time? We're hoping for the best.
I used to say one day at a time. It's like 1 hour at a time. You know, this evolves so significantly just every few hours, right? Look what we're dealing with now with the civil unrest and the protests, which a month ago, we had no idea. A week ago, we had no idea. As well with this pandemic, you know, a vaccine is a game changer, right? If we wipe it out like we've done with tuberculosis or polio or all these other things that have faced mankind, game changer, right? Everybody feels confident that everybody's got vaccinated, you know, the disease kind of goes away. So we're back to normal behavior. In light of that, people are going to wear their masks. They're going to be careful. They're going to be choosy, you know, as to where they eat, where they travel, how they travel. And I think barring the complete elimination of the pandemic, we are going to be seeing different behaviors. And we have to be very sensitive to that. And we have to accommodate that.
You just mentioned how resilient we are. You mentioned, you know, the BP oil spill, 9/11, all these things that have happened before. And tourism, like everything else, took a nosedive and it came back. I think we're kind of fortunate being in the area we're in, where you're selling the sun, the blue skies, the beaches, the, you know, our heritage, that sort of thing. We really have a leg up on most other places, don't we?
You know, we've worked at that. For a long time, we weren't telling our story. We weren't talking about the diversity, the history, the culture. What a different experience you have when you come to this destination, right? We were very bold a few years ago and launched a campaign that said Florida's most great things in one place. You know, if you like the beaches, certainly right across the bay. If you like history, we've got it in spades. If you like dining, we've got tons of that, the arts. And so you're right. You know, our product is very diverse, very appealing. And I think we need to speak to our strengths. And our strengths are wide open spaces. We don't have over tourism here. We weren't hit as severely by the pandemic as other parts of the state, other parts of the country. We've handled it very well, I think. Obviously, there's always backseat drivers and Monday morning quarterbacks. But you know what? I think we've done the best under a very, very unusual situation. You know, we've not had something like this before. And I think everyone's reacted as best as they can with what they have.
All right, let's look into your crystal ball a little bit here. Let's maybe look 6 months into the future. There still isn't a vaccine. The coronavirus is having a second wave, as a lot of people are expecting. How are local hotels and tourist destinations going to react to that? Do you think they're prepared for a second wave, and can a lot of them survive that again?
I don't like your crystal ball. I prefer in 6 months, there's a vaccine, everything's back to normal. We have tons of folks staying in hotels and visiting our destination and putting our people back to work. Steve, a second wave, it all depends how we handle it, right? If we have a shutdown like we did back in March, that could be significant and could have disastrous consequences, right? Nobody wants safety to not be taken. And so if we go back to a March extreme shutdown of the economy, it could be disastrous. You know, we have to try to prevent a second wave. That's why, you know, I think urging people to be vigilant and not get complacent and do the right things for now until we see some sort of medical breakthrough, I think is probably the best we can do. So I've always said, barring a second wave, I think we should be very optimistic. We're well positioned. You know, if we do the right kind of marketing and draw the people that are ready to travel in a safe way, we would be okay. I can tell you most analysts and most of the researchers we talk to say that in a gradual recovery without a second wave, we could be back to our numbers in late 2021, early 2022. We've always been ahead of that curve. So I would say that for us, it would be a little bit sooner than that. You know, it all depends how the summer works itself through and how we move through winter, which would set up next year, in my opinion. So we've got to really look at the next few months in the summer, how fall and winter perform to really predict where we might be. And then we'll know more about the second wave situation as well.
All right. So let's look in your more rosy crystal ball. In 6 months, the coronavirus is fine. The theme parks are opening up again. And the NBA is even talking about playing a truncated season of right up I-4 at Disney World. Do you think you're going to get any good tidings from that?
You know, I'm not so sure we get any good tidings from that. But, you know, obviously NHL season playoffs, you know, you're talking about that. We've been talking about Super Bowl. You know, we're very, very fortunate that we have a Super Bowl early next calendar year. What better infusion, right, injection to the economy than have an event like that? College football season. So obviously, it all depends on how things unfold. And like we said a little while ago, you know, every hour is a different story. So you're really looking to see how all of these things evolve going through the rest of the year. And like I said, you know, I'm an optimistic person. I've always been a half glass full guy, not a half glass empty guy. And that's never going to change. I've been waiting for that to change, and it hasn't changed for me. And I can tell you that I'm very optimistic because we've worked really hard at this destination to become a premier destination. And both sides of the bay have a great partnership as far as tourism. We work very well together. I think we both benefit from each other. They have assets that we don't have. We have assets that they don't have. And I think collectively, the Bay Area has seen that rising tides lift all boats. I mean, they've had record-setting years. We've had record-setting years. We're both now high-impact tourism destinations in the state of Florida. There are only 9 in the state of Florida, and we're 2 of them right here. So I think the future, again, barring anything strange happening, can be very positive for us.
All right. Well, you mentioned the Super Bowl. This is the biggest sporting event in the world aside the Olympics. And usually there's a lot of events running up to it. I remember the last Super Bowl here, I think it was 2009. A lot of events, several months, you know, in the run up to the game. What are we looking at for that? And, you know, are we still looking at the possibility of an empty Raymond James Stadium?
Well, again, I don't want to foretell the future because I've messed that up pretty much the last few months here. So I'm not going to do that. But I think right now it looks like we're looking at a regular Super Bowl. Who can tell, right, Steve? Who can tell what August looks like here? Who can tell what next January, February looks like here? So obviously, close to normal Super Bowl has a higher economic impact to our destination than one that's a hybrid and has a different feel to it. Super Bowls are events. They're week-long events, sometimes 2-week-long events where you have the buildup and then you have people still hanging on and still enjoying their time here. So I'm rooting for more of a regular Super Bowl than a hybrid because the hybrid would have a lesser impact to our economy than we know from past Super Bowls with what happens with hotels and what happens with people coming to the destination just to be around the ambiance. You know, there are lots of people who travel Super Bowls who don't have a ticket to the Super Bowl and they just want to be around all those events that culminate in the Super Bowl and be around that ambiance, whether they're fans of the two teams or not. So I can tell you that I'm hoping and betting on a more regular Super Bowl than an atypical Super Bowl.
If we do have a regular Super Bowl, what kind of impact are we looking at? You know, looking at past Super Bowls as an example.
You're looking at just about all your hotels full. I mean, we don't have enough inventory in Hillsborough County to even accommodate the numbers that come for a Super Bowl. So on the hotel side, you're looking at pretty much most of your hotels being full, and then all those assimilated things that go on with travel, the eating out, the shopping, the going to the attractions. So all of those things happen around Super Bowls and just a phenomenal impact. And we see that with big events. That's why so many people compete for big events. You know, you'll have your pundits out there that say, well, you're displacing something else. You know what? Yes and no, because if you don't have a Super Bowl, you may not be displacing anything. And if you do, you are. And that's a good thing because you still have a lot of things happening. So I can tell you that that's why people get out there and compete for college football national championship games and Shriners conventions and, you know, Siemens conventions and all of these types of shows. You know, the IFAs, the International Indian Film Award, cities are all over the globe compete for those. We know that there's value in those because we see the economic impact. And I can only speak from the hotel side of things, because those are hard numbers and you can compare those occupancy rates and revenue dollars versus prior years during the event. And you can obviously see a change upwards when those things happen.
Hopefully your rosy predictions will come true. Santiago, any other thoughts you have on the current state of tourism in the area that you'd like to share?
Just again, you know, I want to emphasize that it's been extremely difficult and we have to consider the impact on our neighbors, right? We employ close to 60,000 people in Hillsborough County in the industry. And when that industry isn't humming, there are so many tangents to hospitality that people don't think about. Obviously, the 60,000 people that work in the industry that are our neighbors, these are our people. And those individuals, when they have jobs, can afford Spectrum, can afford their car insurance, can afford their groceries at Publix or Winn-Dixie or wherever they shop. So it's this churning of the economy. Hotels pay property taxes to the city, to the county. The sales tax that's generated ensures that we don't have an income tax, because sales tax in Florida is huge. In the tourism industry, quarter of the sales tax that we generate in Florida or more is from tourists. So this industry is incredibly vital to our community, to our state, and now we're seeing to the world, because you're seeing the restaurants, the attractions, the venues that are also impacted when people aren't traveling. And it's more significant. I think this pandemic has really, really highlighted how incredibly important the tourism economy is for not just us, but lots of folks around the world.
And it still is the number one industry in Florida, right?
It is the number one industry in Florida, not just number one for Hillsborough County. Luckily, we have other industries that make us a very resilient MSA, but very important because, again, all the tentacles that tourism encompasses, the restaurants, the attractions, retail, you know, when you talk about all the mix in hospitality, it goes beyond just hotels. In fact, we know for a fact that when visitors travel, hotel isn't the number one spend. You know, it's eating out, it's retail, it's entertainment. None of us travel to another city to hide out in the hotel room and do pay-per-view. We travel to another city and we want to go out and check it out like the locals. What's the best place to eat? What's happening around here? Where's the museum? And I think you see that impact severely diminished when you have something like this.
Santiago Corrada is president and CEO of Visit Tampa Bay. Thank you so much for being on Florida Matters.
Thank you so much for having me on. I really, really do appreciate it, because I really want to highlight the importance of this industry.
And that's it for today's show. My thanks to Santiago Corrada, Visit Tampa Bay, and all the people out there in the tourism industry trying to stay afloat. You can read more about all this on our website, wusfnews.org. I'm Steve Newborn. Thanks for listening.